Hello, everyone. As we begin this sermon today, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the original recipients of the Hebrew letter and all that they were going through. They were too Jewish for the Gentiles, and they were too Christian for the Jews. And so they were truly outsiders, being persecuted for their belief in Jesus. Several of them sold property and got rid of it. They sold their possessions, and they were thinking that Jesus was going to come back in their lifetime, really soon in their lifetime. And so they got rid of all these things. And then when that didn't happen, I can only imagine how they must have felt. Some of them maybe had the feeling or the thought, is Jesus really worth it? Is Jesus really better? I want you to listen again to our anchor text for this series. It comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. There's an interesting word for race in this text in verse 1. It's the Greek word agon. Now, what does that sound like to you in English? Agon sounds a lot to me like agony. And interestingly enough, this word in the Greek signifies the struggle or the toil or the strife of running a race. And so the encouragement here from the author is for you and I and for the original readers to move forward with perseverance, to take on the difficulties of life and the pain and the struggle, and to journey on toward Jesus, to not give up in their faith. Now, some of you are runners, and others of you explain that if we see you running, that we need to help you, that we need to find what's chasing you and kill it. But for those of you who are runners, you know that there's difficulties in your training from time to time. I used to love running long distances, and I had completed several half marathons, and I ran 2 Oklahoma City marathons. And in the form of training, it takes 3 to 4 months, give or take, to get ready for what your body's going to go through during a marathon race. And so you got to do the adequate training. As a part of that training, you come up on your long training run, usually 19 to 20 miles. And there's something in that training run that's vitally important as you prepare for your race. Runners call it the wall. And when it comes race day, you're just spent. You're physically exhausted, and you're coming up on mile 17, mile 18, mile 19, and at some point you hit that wall. And it is really, really hard to keep going. But if you've done your training, if you've prepared well, you know in your mind, if I just push through, if I persevere, if I keep fighting the fight, that on the other side of that wall is a burst of energy that's going to get you through to the end of the race. And so as runners, we push through, even though we're exhausted. The point here is simple. Our race that has been marked out for us will include agony. It'll include pain and difficulty and struggle. We know that ahead of time. We know to expect that. But what is in our control right now is for us to prepare adequately for those times of pain, for those times of struggle, so that when they do come, we can persevere and move forward in faith. Another significant passage that uses this same word for race is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. I want you to listen closely to it. The Apostle Paul writes, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. So when you heard me read verse 7 there, you heard the word race. And maybe you're thinking, oh, right there, it's the same word from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, here in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, race and race. And not so fast, my friend. The word for race is used in 2 Timothy chapter 4, but it's not the word race. It's the word fight. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. And that's the significance of what Paul is saying here. He never gave up. He persevered. He continued to push and to move forward. Now, for some of you, you like to fight. You like confrontation. You like to be in conversations where you can go back and forth with someone. You may not even be raising your voice. But to someone who doesn't like confrontation, someone who doesn't like to fight, it's making them uncomfortable. But not for you. It may even bring you energy to be a part of conversations like that. And so for those of us who don't like to fight, this idea of fighting the fight and getting through the struggle, it sounds like a difficult part of the race. And it is. Oftentimes what happens is, like those who receive this Hebrew letter, when the tough times come, when the persecution comes, when things don't turn out the way that we thought they were going to, we're tempted to go back to our former way of life. And I get that. So let me ask you this question. And maybe you could pause the video right now and you guys could talk about it as a family or as friends on a video chat. I'd encourage you to discuss this question. It's an important question. What keeps you from completing your race? What keeps you from finishing the fight? What is it that derails you from your path that has been marked out for you? I want to point out a couple of things that maybe are true for all of us. One of the things that we all struggle with is, from time to time, we feel defeated. But some of us have felt defeated before we even started. Now, psychologists call this the defeatist attitude. For example, let's pick basketball. Maybe you have played, or maybe you've been watching a game and you're looking at both of the teams warming up and you're noticing that team is really tall and that team is predominantly short. This team over here is making all of their warm-up shots. They're doing all of their warm-up exercises together. They're in rhythm. And this team over here isn't making a shot, and they have no idea what to do to warm up together. And so as you're watching this warm-up, whether you're on one of those teams or a fan watching the game, you're thinking to yourself, this game is over and it hasn't even started yet. There's another example like this found in the Old Testament in Numbers 13 and 14. This is the situation, you might remember, where Moses sends spies into the promised land to investigate, to see what it's like. So he sends 12 spies, and after going in and doing the investigation, the evaluation of the land, they come back and they report to Moses and they report to Aaron and the rest of the Israelite community. 10 of them, they come before them and they say, yes, the land is flowing with milk and honey. It is a rich land. But there's people that possess this land that are humongous. They're powerful people. And they were afraid. And so they discouraged Moses from going into the land and taking it for Israel. But then there were two other spies, Caleb and Joshua, and they agreed with the other 10. Yes, the land is plentiful. Yes, the land is beautiful. And there are powerful people that possess this land. However, their message to Moses and Aaron and the others was a little bit different. Their message was this: if the Lord is pleased with us, then he will lead us into this land and he will give it to us. So you see the difference, right? The majority of the spies, they came back and they were defeated before the battle had even started. But then there were the other two, Caleb and Joshua, and they had a different mindset. They trusted in the Lord. And they didn't feel like they were defeated before it had started. They trusted that the Lord would provide for them what they needed. So here's what I see for us today. And I hope that you'll really soak this in. I believe that many of us would rather live as victims than as victors. It's much easier, right, to walk through life as a victim, saying things like, you know what? Luck just hadn't come my way. It's just not my day. And for whatever reason, you blame other people or you blame circumstances or whatever, but you walk through life as a victim and you enjoy the sympathy that comes your way because of that. You have this defeatist mindset. However, others of us, when we face difficult times, maybe you say something like, you know what? I'm going to endure this time. It's hard. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, but I'm going to reach out to my community of people to hold me up. I'm going to seek the Lord and I'm going to persevere through this trial. I'm going to trust God during this time. So as we fight the fight, we oftentimes give in to this defeatist attitude. It can seep into our bones and into our spirit. We're all guilty of this. We think things or maybe even say things out loud like, I'm not going to get the job anyway, so why even put in an application? We say things like, they're not going to listen to me, so why even bother? We say things like, I've tried this before. I've tried to stop acting this way, or I've tried to stop this addiction, or I've tried to fix or reconcile that relationship, so what's the point? And we feel defeated. We accept this victim mindset before the battle has even started. Some of us even think, you know what, I'm not fill in the blank enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not educated enough. I'm not outgoing enough. And we give up before we even start. Here's the truth I want you to really, really lean into today, and I pray that you'll receive this truth. A part of running our race with perseverance is believing that we are a victor and not a victim. We are victors in Jesus Christ. There's another reason, though, that we often get derailed from our path toward Jesus, and it's this: comparison to others. I want you to go back and look at the end of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. The NIV says it this way, the race marked out for us. And the NLT says it this way, the race that God has set before us. And so our particular journey as disciples for this life is something that God has set before us. And so here's what I believe. Oftentimes we get caught comparing our race, our course, to others. We look at someone else's course and we say things like, God, why is my course so difficult? Why is it so much more hilly and difficult and there's more obstacles along my path? Why can't I walk theirs? It looks so much easier. You might even admit to yourself and others that you've asked God, could you just set another path before me? I don't want this path. And comparatively speaking, you may have every right to ask that question because your path includes things like cancer. Your path includes things like the death of a loved one. Your course may include a suffocating addiction or a negative compulsive behavior. Your course may include parenting or parenting alone or walking this life as a single adult. But you're not alone. You're not alone. You're surrounded by people in this church family who love you. Whatever your circumstances, you may feel like giving up and quitting the race. But again, here's this truth that I pray that you'll hold on to today. I pray it'll encourage you in your spirit and in your soul. If we believe that the race we're running is a pathway toward Jesus, then it's the right race. And yes, that course may be difficult. It may be suffocating, and at times it may be downright horrific. But you're not alone. God is with you always. We are with you every step. So don't give up. because your path leads you to Jesus, where you want to be. And we believe that in Christ and by faith, God is our Redeemer. He's our Restorer. And He's going to make all things new. So don't get caught in this trap of comparison. It's such a deadly trap. Don't compare your situation and your course to others. Stay focused on the path that's been marked out for you, and you'll get the desired finish that you imagine. Above all, as we close, let us consider this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3 reminds us, and I pray you'll be inspired by this. Consider Jesus, who endured or who persevered the opposition of sinful men. What does that verse mean for us in connection to this message? Jesus didn't get to choose his course either. His course that led him to the cross. He didn't get to choose that, but he was obedient to it. Jesus endured the hardships of his course so that in the end he could stand as a victor and give thanks in the presence of the Father in heaven. So I pray for you, dear brother, and I pray for you, dear sister, that you'll fight the fight, that you'll run your race with endurance, with strength, and with great joy as we're all on this journey together toward Jesus. God bless you.